Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Fans of the fantasy genre will not only fall in love with the new novel, The Wishing Tree, part of a trilogy, but also the author, Bevan Knight. The first volume of the trilogy weaves together elements of science fiction and fantasy to produce an exploration of human needs and values, a mesmerizing fantasy thriller, a beautiful setting, relatable characters, and exquisite writing. Bevan Knight is a retired librarian. He spent his life working with books and people. He's also been a book reviewer, a technical writer, a database administrator. He lives in Wellington, New Zealand with his wife, Naomi, who edits his work. The Wishing Tree is his first novel. Bevan Knight joins us on This Week in America to talk about book one of his series, The Seeds of Time Trilogy. Book one is The Wishing Tree, and with us is Bevan Knight. Bevan, welcome to the program and America by telephone. Welcome. It's great having you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick. It's really great that you invited me.
Well,
much appreciated.
It is our pleasure. You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the program to talk about this book, the first in the trilogy, getting excellent reviews, not only here in the United States, but internationally as well. The book is The Wishing Tree. Where did this idea come from for this story?
Okay, well, it's quite strange, really. I had been thinking for some time about the fact that of all the creatures on our planet, humans are the ones who are the least dissatisfied, satisfied, I should say. I mean, if you feed a cat regularly, it's happy. Feed a dog, pet a dog and take it for walks, and the dog's happy. But humans always find things that they need, that they want. And that triggered off, well, first of all, I wrote a story which later became enclosed within the book, and the story was called The Little Girl Who Wanted the Moon. And then later on, I read about this little village in Hong Kong which has two wishing trees. And people would come in their thousands to throw paper wishes up into the branches of their trees. But after a while, the authorities realized that the trees were stifled. They were being killed off by all this paper. So they had to do what authorities do, which is erect barriers. And
No,
you can't go past this. And you can put up some racks, and you can put your wishes on racks, right, respectfully back. And
yes.
Anyway, so that gave me the idea of the wishing tree. And the wishing tree is really the central feature of the book. It's the magnet that draws people to go hunting. And it breaks up families, it breaks up the tribal groups, because this is it's actually based very roughly on hunter-gatherers in the Arctic, that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
But the people were rushing off looking for this mysterious tree that they'd heard about. And so the key part of the story is the quest. A group of people get together and say, right, we'll have to dispose of the tree. We'll have to destroy this tree. So they set off. And among this group are the hero, Dorno, and the heroine, Sheena. And they go along with the rest. And various things happen to the various members of the quest along the way, as you'd expect. They also tell little stories when they camp, as they do from time to time, and they're little folk tales which I invented, and I have it so that they really just say things which are appropriate to their characters, rather in the manner of the Canterbury Tales, maybe, not that I have pretensions to be like Chaucer, but it's that sort of thing. And so that's where the little girl who wanted the moon comes in as one of the stories in the book. And eventually, of course, they reach the tree, or some do. Various things happen to them. And I don't think I can say too much about that.
No, I think you've done a nice job of sort of setting the table for us, so we have an idea, and we'd love to have you tell us more, but there'd be no reason to buy the book, probably. We want people to buy the book and enjoy it. This is the first of the trilogy. The book is The Wishing Tree. Bevan Knight is our guest, coming to us from New Zealand. Bevan is B-E-V as in Victor, A-N, Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places, and Bevan's website, which is bevanknight.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and I'll give you all the spelling of that as we go through the program. So this really, when you started writing this, I mentioned the first of the trilogy, the Seeds of Time trilogy. Did you know this was going to be a trilogy when you wrote The Wishing Tree?
Not immediately. Well, as I said, the little girl who wanted the moon, that's the book, that's the story which grew. And then
yes.
I thought of the book. And then later on, I realized that there was a lot more to be written. And at this stage, Naomi's editing. I thought I'd really finished the second manuscript for the second book, but Naomi is very much my editor, guide, and chief critic, is still finding things that need adjusting, so she's still working through the second book. And while she's doing that, I'm working on the third, but it's all going to be a while yet.
Well, looking forward to the second book, Earthlight, and that's in the process of getting ready to be published. Back in the hands of, boy, these editors can be highly critical, especially if they're your spouse. Talk about that relationship, your wife, Naomi, editor. Talk about the advice that she gives you.
It's a little bit fraught, that relationship at times.
Absolutely.
We have to sort of put the book to one side when we get on and do other things.
Yes.
Like doing the garden, doing the meals, doing the dishes.
Well, yes.
The book's got to take second place then. We put aside our differences. But generally it's a very, very productive, and it's very productive to have a little bit of friction in that relationship. I find it's good. It makes me grumpy, and then I think, no, she's right again.
You know, isn't it strange?
Quite right.
Yeah, when husbands go through, sometimes there's like resentment, I guess, when you get some advice and then after you give a little thought, it's like, well, okay, I don't know how to tell her this, but I think she's right. So once you get to the point of where you feel like saying, okay, then you write the book, then you wash dishes and you're back together and everything's back on track again.
That's right. Yeah.
The
what
book
do you
is.
Think, no?
Well, it's so nice to have someone who'll be honest.
Summed it up beautifully.
Yes, see, there we've got the editor that's online and helping us with this conversation. I'm sure this is interesting on a number of levels, but here's somebody, obviously, that Bevan, that you can trust. So deep down, you have to know, boy, she's not trying to sell me something. She's not trying to get me to move faster. She's trying to get me to do it right. That really counts for something, doesn't it, when you can really trust the advice that you're getting.
I guess you're right. You're absolutely right. You are right. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, she's working for me and I'm working for her in another way too.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And we're sharing something in our retirement years, and that's important.
Well, that is important. And to have that perspective and to get up and to have this together, and it's something that you can talk about and maybe talk through some of these patches as you get in the book and you're not quite sure where to take the storyline. The book is The Wishing Tree. Bevan Knight is the author and our guest, B-E-V-A-N-K-N-I-G-H-T. His wife, Naomi, is the editor who's joined us here on the phone, and her input is to The Wishing Tree, which is doing so well internationally. I mentioned in the beginning that people really have fallen in love with this and the concept. Bevan, what attracts you to the fantasy genre? What is it about fantasy that really piqued your interest?
Fantasy? Well, I've always loved fantasy and science fiction. I can remember I read all the old classics, you know, way back. But the thing about fantasy is that you can take a situation, which is a very common one, but people maybe take for granted, and you put it in a totally different context. So that can really shed light on it in a way that people will not usually think about it. They will see things in it. And that's what I've been trying to do with these books, is give new angles, really, on familiar themes, familiar themes.
Yes.
And especially various needs, attitudes. I mean, the book's got, I mean, it's got the usual things. There's love, romance, there's revenge, there's ambition.
Yeah, the usual, yes.
But in the sort of setting that people will not normally expect to see it, or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Naomi's still on the line. Go ahead, finish that thought, please.
I'm just hoping that that is something that people do pick up when they read it. I think they do.
They do, judging from the reviews.
Responses.
Yeah, the reviews are excellent. I don't know if Naomi is still on the line, but Naomi, what's this like reading this? This has to be enjoyable on one level. Then you got to realize, okay, I'm editing on the other. This has to be fun for you to be able to share in Bevan's storytelling.
Yes, well, I think it enhances our life generally. It gives us something in common to talk about. Bevan walks around with a smile on his face and his feet not quite touching the ground when he's thinking about something to do with his writing. And I think he's very fortunate that I'm there to say, it's your turn to do the dishes.
Yes.
Which grounding, you know.
Yeah, all writers need that from time to time, that bringing you back to earth and realize, okay, there's more than sitting down at the computer and writing the story. Bevan, as you were not only just growing up, but even now, are there writers that have been a particularly strong influence on your writing?
Well, I think it goes back for me to the old stuff that Joseph Campbell wrote about, the monomyth, the quest, either to go off and either find some great treasure or lose something, destroy something, as in the case of Tolkien,
yes,
of course, to destroy something that was of a terrible threat, which is slightly more the line I'm following here. That definitely has influenced me quite a bit, I would say. I think the first fantasy books that I came to particularly enjoy were Ursula Le Guin's, especially The Left Hand of Darkness comes to mind. That's quite a special book.
Yes.
For me. Yeah.
Well, Bevan Knight, our guest, coming to us from New Zealand with his wife and editor, Naomi, on the line with us. The book is The Wishing Tree, the first in a trilogy. I mentioned it sitting at the computer typing, writing out your book. Tell me a little bit about your writing process. Do you use the computer, a legal pad, an old typewriter? I'm assuming it was a computer. Talk about the writing process in putting a book like The Wishing Tree together.
Well, I like comfort.
There you go.
I've actually got a bed which we set up when I, because I had had some medical things, so we got a bed which works like a hospital bed. You can raise the feet, or you can raise the head of the bed. And I find that this is a perfect place for writing, as long as I don't go to sleep. So some of the writing's there. And some of the writing is, I like sitting on the deck if it's sunny as well. I love writing outside, even though it should be distracting, but I love it. So,
you know, in the book cover for The Wishing Tree.
We've got a garden. We're always planting new flowers.
Oh, it sounds nice. And I love the cover of The Wishing Tree, that outdoor scene that you have there. So that's where you get some inspiration from outdoors and some greenery and some sunshine that always makes life better. How about your personal experiences? Have those influenced your writing, do you think? And I mentioned the background with a retired librarian, for example. Do all those sort of past experiences come to play in your writing?
A lot of the library things don't very much, because most of that was what they call left-brain activity. It was strictly the IT work was all very, very logical. I was actually fortunate that I was a bit self-taught. I had one of the early Apple computers, and I taught myself to do with it just about everything you could do with it. But that gave me a really good understanding of how computers work. And so I was very able later to sort out the kinds of things that go wrong and quickly identify problems. Because we did, like every company, I guess, we certainly had problems, and there were occasions when I'd have to go in about midnight to sort something out.
Oh, wow.
When they're doing batch processes and things like that. So so that particular part. On the other hand, some of the people I worked with come through in the book, but not in any identifiable way or even in a way which I'm really conscious of. But I think they have to. I think really a book is always about oneself in some sense or other. I think that's true.
What kind of responses are you getting? I mentioned the reviews I'm reading, and people love what you've done. They've loved the storyline. They fell in love with your storytelling ability. What kind of response are you getting from readers there?
Varied. Some people just love it to bits, and obviously, we were able to get right in and fill in any blank areas with their own imagination.
Yes.
Others, I introduced it to my friends, and some of them said, well, it's not my thing. But those who liked it loved it.
Yeah, the reviews are so excellent. And Naomi, I'm sure they told you, boy, the editing was really tight. I'm sure they enjoyed the editing of the book.
Oh, you like the editing, huh?
Yes. Nice job with that. It's a husband and wife.
I was quite brutal because Bevan puts in a lot of detail, and I took out a lot of detail. And I always felt a little bit guilty that I was doing this to him. And he enhanced my guilt considerably. So that bit of feedback is most appreciated.
Yeah, he sensed it, and he went right after that. Sometimes that happens. The book is The Wishing Tree. It's available at Amazon, the usual places. Bevan Knight's website, bevanknight.com, B-E-V as in Victor, A-N-K-N-I-G-H-T.com. I'll give you all that before we wrap up the program here. A couple minutes left. I'm going to go back and talk about the idea of this trilogy. This is the first part of a trilogy. Can you give us a little insight into what's happening in book two, which I understand is what Earthlight, and that's about to be released here at some point, still in editing. An overview of some sort of what we can expect in books two and three.
Okay, well, book two takes us to the home planet from this fantasy planet, and it's a little way into the future. So So it's a little bit close to the bone in a way. There are issues such as alternative realities, which take on a different meaning on planet Earth.
And there's more sex.
Okay, so we got that introduced into the coming series. So this is good. This is good. The book is the Wishing Tree. Yeah, Naomi, go ahead. You brought that up. That's going to be introduced into the coming books in the series. Follow up on that.
That was my input. I must admit, I suggested in the first book there should be a little bit more romance, and that's something that Bevan definitely took on board.
Took it and ran with it. So that's in books 2 and 3. Bevan, you mentioned that book 3 you're working on. Are you close to wrapping that up, or are you still got a ways to go with that?
Oh, no, it's a long way to go on
okay.
that one.
Okay.
I'm not still, what I do on this, is another way in which I write, is that I do write down scenes when they come. I write details in order really, because I'm exploring a situation myself, and I write, I just put down everything. And so it does need to be tidied up.
Cut in half.
Okay. Yeah,
write about 3 times as much as would ever eventually go into a book. So, yeah.
See, the writer says it needs to be tightened up, and the editor says cut in half. So there you have the conflict between the writer and the editor, and the finished product is what counts. And everybody loves the Wishing Tree, the first in this 3-part Seeds of Time trilogy. A minute or so left in the program. I'll ask each of you, Bevan, is there any final thing that you would like to say about the book and giving them, getting them to buy and enjoy the book? Anything that we've missed here?
Well, really, I'll just say that I try not to be at all heavy-handed in any way, to point any morals to. I try and let the characters speak for themselves or show their characterizations through their actions, through the dialogue.
Yes.
And in no way do I try, and I don't know how whether that works or not, I try not to to have any sort of judgment intrude from a writer's point of view.
Yeah, Bevan has a very expansive mind, and he has the gift of being able to see the perspective of many people at the same time. So that's definitely a gift he has.
Yeah, that does also mean that I tend to put in alternative interpretations of the same event. Well, that's what comes into the Wishing Tree. And that some readers have found that confusing. There are different perspectives according to who is describing the situation.
Yes, yes.
That, in fact, is what does happen.
Well, the results have been positive and promising for this book, the first in the trilogy, not only the book, but your talents as a writer and looking more books from you. The book is The Wishing Tree. Now, this is the first in the Seeds of Time trilogy. Book number 2 is Earthlight. That's coming through the process. And then, of course, book number 3, and hopefully we'll be able to chat about that book as well. Bevan Knight is the author. That's B-E-V, if you're Googling, B-E-V, like as in Victor, A-N, Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. His website is bevanknight.com. Book available at amazon.com, all of the usual places. And with us on the program is wife Naomi, who is the editor. Finished with the Wishing Tree, that's out there, working now on Earthlight. And Bevan, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Naomi, great to get your input as well. This has been fun. Thank you for joining us on the program.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
It has been fun, and I look forward to the Wishing Tree, the continued success of that, and Earthlight, which will be out soon, and hopefully we can talk about that as well. And all of this, all the information is on Bevan's website, bevanknight.com, and of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.